And hey, we're going to go to Isaiah today. We're looking at a message titled The Word. That last song that we just sang there, it declared that God's word spoken to us is our daily bread, that it's what nourishes us. And that really fits right in with this word that we're going to look at today. Going to go to Isaiah chapter number 55 again. Just to piggyback off of Sister Dee there, I want to encourage you as well to reach out to Paul and Mary Richards if you know them. He's in a rehabilitation center, and I know that a couple of us have been by to see him and things, but give Sister Mary a call, and if you'd like to but you don't know their number, just call the office or email the office here, and we'll be sure to get that information to you so that you can reach out to them as well to encourage them at this time. Isaiah 55 tells us this. Isaiah 55 tells us, the rain and snow. Come on, where's the snow? We didn't get any snow, really. Yeah, we didn't get any snow this year. We got a little bit, but not much. So who's still holding out hope? Anybody in here still holding out hope? Who's thankful that there's been no snow and you're fine with it? Oh, that's what's winning. So the students are holding out hope. They'll want the snow. But let's jump back into this. It says here, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. Just as the rain and snow come down and cause seeds to grow, it is the same with my word, the word of God. I send it out. This is a word from God, and it always, come on, somebody say always, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Wow, that's a good word right there. He says, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, nettles are like briars or sticky plants. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. Man, God's word being fulfilled in your life is a sign of God's power and God's love over you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We know that you give it to us, Lord God, to guide us in our lives. So I pray that as we consider it today, and today even as we consider the word itself and the significance of it in our lives, Lord God, and we've looked even over the last couple of weeks at the psalmist referred to your book in heaven, and we looked at the book of remembrance, and we've seen how there are books that you have even in heaven that we've no access to, but where when you write in them, when you write something in heaven, it's always the case. But we know that your word that we have here, our Bible, Lord God, that it's just as true, it's just as eternal, Lord God. And as we consider this book, your Bible today, I pray that you'll equip us through this word that I preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, speak to me through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I for almost 23 years, my office was on the third level of a building, and my office was on this, and although it was kind of the ground level at the front because the building was on a hill, there was still a level above it, and to exit the building, there was a front entrance that was an office entrance, and just as beside our entrance here, if this was the entrance, but it was a double doors, there's a little alarm panel that's right there, and I know that we stream the services, and the video people probably hate me right now because I walk so far over here. But anyway, if you're watching at home and you can't see anything right now, it's not the video person's fault. You know, we get several hundred people a week who will watch online the stream that we do here in our services by the time that the week is out. Sometimes it can be 300-400. It's been as high as like 1,000 hits on a given week that watch our services online. So that's exciting to know that. But right now, those people are so disappointed because they can't see me. So anyway, if you're listening at home, you should have been here. You would have seen me standing by the wall. All right. So my office is upstairs, and there's an alarm panel, and it's by the door. And each day for all these years, when I'm leaving my office, and usually I was the last one out, and so I'm usually here as well. And I would walk over, and I put my alarm code in, just as maybe you do at your office or home if you have one. Boop 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 boop. And when I push the keys and I turn the alarm on, something starts to happen. The countdown begins. I have 2 minutes. I have 2 minutes to exit the building or else the alarm will go off and I will set the alarm off and then I'll go to prison. So anyway, hopefully not. But so I come over, boop, 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 boop. I turn the alarm on, and when I do that, the alarm would start to beep. Beep. Some of you are nodding. Maybe it happens where you are. Beep. Beep. This is the countdown. This is the warning. And beep. And what would happen is, I know I have 2 minutes, but it's plenty of time. Even though there was a door right by the alarm panel, I would almost never exit through that door. I would come over, boop, 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 boop. How'd it go? That, not too bad, but I was hoping for the boop, boop, boop. But anyway, so I would push the boop, 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 and it would start to beep. And what I would do is, it was 3 stories down to get out of the building in the back of it. And it's 3 levels, but it's 6, they zigzag, 6 zigzags of stairs, because it was like 2 per level, and they were tall ceilings. So I would zigzag, and then when I would get down to the bottom level, I'd hang a left, and there was about a 100-foot-long hallway that would get out of these exit doors in the bottom, and that's where my car is parked. But it's plenty of time. It's plenty of time. I do it all the time. All the time. I leave. I'm leaving my office for the day. Boop, 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 boop. Beep, beep. I jog down the stairs. Beep, beep. What happens is the beep, beep starts to get faster. It's the warning. Because as it gets faster, it's letting you know you're running out of time. You got to get out of the building. Beep, 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 beep. It's picking up. So I come over to the alarm panel one day, and I kick on the alarm. Boop, 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 boop. So, and if you know the tones, you know what my alarm code is. So I come over, and I turn it on, and I start to run down the stairs, and I'm just kind of jogging along plenty of time. And then I remembered I forgot something in my office. So I was like, oh, man, I forgot that. So I turned around, and I ran back upstairs, and I don't know what I forgot, Cheetos or something. I don't know. So I run back upstairs. I was like, I wanted to have that with me. And I run up, and I fumble through my keys, and I open my office door, and whatever it was I went in for, and I get it, and I come back out, and I lock the door. But beep, beep. It's not beep, beep anymore. Now it's like beep, beep, beep. So I have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. I have to go back over to the panel and put my boop, 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 boop back in and disengage the alarm and then reset it, but I conclude I can make it. I can make it. I got this. I can make it. You think I can make it? No confidence in me whatsoever. Oh, my goodness. So I'm like, I'm fit. I run. I can do this. So you know, beep, beep, beep. I start down the stairs, and now I'm going fast. I'm going fast. Beep, 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 beep. I'm going to 1 turn, 2 turn, 3 turn, 4 turn, 5 turn, 6 turn. I hit the hall. I hit the hall in the bottom. The hall is so black, you can't see your hand in front of your face. Always, always. Because the windows are in classrooms, but the doors are closed. So the hall is black. It doesn't matter that the hall is black. If you woke up last night in the middle of the night at your house, you walk all over the place, you don't need to turn the light on. You know where everything is. Come on, I just told you I was there for 23 years. I don't need a light to know my way around the building. I'm fine. That the hall is black, the hall is always black. That means nothing. But I hit the hall. I've got 100 foot to a hall to run down. Beep, 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 beep. And I hit the hall, and I'm booking. Because I know I'm running out of time, and I don't want to go back out. So I hit the hall. I turn pitch black, and I take off. It's the eye of the tiger. And I'm like, I got this. I got this. Gonna fly now. And I'm running, and I'm booking down the hall, and I'm sprinting, and I'm booking, and it's black. Beep, 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 beep. And I'm taking off, and I'm running, and I go, and I'm taking off down the hall, right? I'm booking it down the hall. Faster, beep, 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 beep. Gonna fly now. Oh, man, I got this. And somebody put a table in the hall. Why would you think that's funny? Anna, they think that's funny that this would happen to me. It's terrible. So I mean, I'm booking it. Baby, my heart's racing. I almost said that. Baby, 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 you know, gonna fly now. I'm like, guys, I got this. I got this, man. Boom, I slam. Full force. All out sprint. Crash, I'm flipping over the legs, wipe out on the carpet. Oh, bing, no. And I jump back up and I take off. back up the six stairs. I'm running up. My arms are scraped up. And I'm like, who put the table there to turn it off? And it happened because it was dark. I couldn't see it. God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And we're going to come back to that. But I tripped up because I couldn't see what was coming. So the thing is, you and I, we need God's word in our life because God's word is what helps us to know what's coming and know what's ahead and to know where to go. And so we know that we need it. But I want you to catch today that there's two ways that we get God's word in our life. Two ways. All right, somebody say two ways. This is not a two-point sermon, so after I get the second one, it's going to come quick. Don't be like all happy, like, oh, wow, he's almost done. We're going to beat the Baptist to the buffet line today. No, no, so there's some points afterwards, so hang with me. So the two ways, though, that you're going to get God's word in your life. The first way that I get God's word in my life, and God's word is so important, is this one, Ephesians chapter number 4. So Christ himself, come on, this is Jesus. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So I need God's word in my life. God has two ways that I'm going to get his word in my life. The first way that I'm going to get God's word in my life is what we're doing right now. We're doing it right now. God gave us evangelists, pastors, teachers, individuals who would teach us God's word, and we come in and someone teaches us the word of God, and that's one of the ways that we get God's word in our life. So I know that God, this is God's call in my life. He gives me as a gift to the church. So during the week, of course, I have to prepare for today because I know this is one of the ways we receive God's word in our life. So we come to church and then the pastor comes or the teacher in our class or whoever, and they tell us, hey, this is what God says. And we hear it. And we come to work, we come to church and we hear God's word and we apply it in our life. So it could be in anything. I could pick any example. You come in and there's this person you work with and you hate this person. You already know who I'm talking about, right? You can't stand that guy. You know who I'm talking about? You know which person I'm talking about at your job? The one you can't stand? You know who I'm talking about, right? Some of you are like, yep, I know exactly who you're talking about, Pastor. Yep. I so wish they would fire that. Anyway, so you got this person at work. Something happened. They took credit for something. They did something wrong, whatever. As soon as you see them, you come in the morning, you're like, oh, man. So you're holding on to something that happened in your life. You come to church, and the pastor talks about, oh, we have to forgive people and love everyone, and come on, you're making yourself sick. You got to let go of things and cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And we're like, you know what? I need to do that in my life. We say, I'm going to forgive what happened. I'm going to give this over to Jesus. I'm going to live in his peace. I'm going to go. This is one of the ways we receive God's word in our life. I'm just using it in any area of our life. I'm using it as illustration. We hear God's word. We then apply it in our lives. That's way one, that we receive God's word in our life. But it's not the only way. There's another way where we receive God's word in our life as well. And I want to show you that one in 2 Timothy. It says this, be diligent to present your, somebody say present myself. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So way one that I receive God's word in my life is that I'm in situations like what we're in right now where someone teaches me the word of God. That's way one. But the other way that I receive God's word in my life is I work and I'm diligent to present myself. That means I read my Bible. Hello. That means I go to God's word on my own and I do it. Now, this is not an either or. This is a both and. So there are believers who come to church and they hear the word of God taught, like how we are in here, and they apply it in their lives. They love Jesus. They say, well, I got to do that. I need to live for God. And they apply it in their lives, but they don't do the second part. They don't read their Bible during the week. They don't spend time in the Bible. They just get the first part. There are other people who don't come to church, but they read their Bible every day. They're at home and they read their Bible every day and they pray and they ask God to help them to live for God and the whole. And both of those groups love Jesus, and the problem is they're only doing half. They're only doing half. It's not either or, it's both and. Come on, elbow your neighbor and say, it's both, all right? So the way we get God's word in our life is someone teaches us the word of God, and the other way is that we spend time in God's word on our own, and we do this and work to grow in God's word. Why is all of this so important in our life? And of course, there's lots of reasons, but I want to highlight just a couple today of why I need to be taught God's word, why I need to be spending time in it on my own so that I receive that in my own life. And the first thing I want to catch you today is this: God's word is illuminating. God's word is illuminating. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Why did I run into the table? Talk to me. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. If I saw the table, you think I would have run into it? No, I couldn't see it. So I ran into the table because I didn't know it was there. We can't always see what's going to trip us up. We can't always see what's going to cause us to stumble, what's going to mess us up in life. But God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. It shows us the way. Sometimes I don't know what to do on my own, but God's word can light my path. Sometimes sometimes I could be tempted to do the wrong thing, but God's word will light my path and will show me which way to go. So this happens in our lives. So my brother who's you go to work and there's a new girl at work and she catches your eye because she's so intelligent and has a good personality or whatever. And anyway, you know why she caught your eye. So this girl, she catches your eye and you see her there and she laughs at all your jokes and she's like, "You're so funny, you're so funny," and you think she's so funny, and you're like, "Oh my, she thinks I'm funny, she likes me," and your attention starts to get focused on her and you're excited when you see her, but she doesn't want anything to do with the things of God. She doesn't want to do anything to do with the things of God. She's going to trip you up. She's going to trip you up is what's going to, or you're my sister and you go to work and they hire a new guy and he comes in and you see him and you've been praying for God to bring you a husband. Come on. Where are my sisters believing God for a husband? Anybody? A couple of them. Okay, so yeah. So the ones who didn't raise their hand, they still are. And you're praying, "God, bring me a husband," and they bring a new guy in and he's there, and you see him and you're like, "Oh, look, he's so shy, so good looking." And you see him and you say, "He's so shy." And you go, "Oh man, there he is again. One in a million." And he's there, yeah. That sweet little, he's not a sweet little boy. He's not a sweet little boy. He's a child of the devil. Uh-oh. Now he's not automatically. He's not automatically, but he might be, all right? He might be. God's word lights my path and would show me in such a situation, hey, is this okay or is this not okay? Do I want to go in this direction or do I not want to go in this direction? God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows me where to walk. It keeps me from getting tripped up in the dark in my walk with God. Come on, amen? This is true in every area of our lives. I'm just using that as an example. It doesn't matter what area of our lives it is, from our finances to our relationships to how we do our jobs to everything. God's word shows us how to do it. You need God's word in your life. Second thing that I want you to catch today is that God's word is strengthening. God's word is strengthening. Acts 20, 32. "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace." Come on, it's God's word, "which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." This is about growing in our walk with him. God's word strengthens us. There's some plants in my office and they started dying. Turns out you're supposed to water them and stuff. So there's these plants in my life and they're turning brown and leaves all falling off of them. They're all dying and I'm just like, I don't know what's wrong with those. So Jorge, he starts watering them. It's amazing. It works with kids too. If you give them like water and stuff and they spring back. Anyway, so he starts watering them and now you should see some of them. Like one of them, it's got all these like new shoots coming out of it. And I'm like, look at that thing. It's incredible. And to put it over in the sun and start watering it every day. And it started growing. And that's because now it's healthy and healthy things grow. healthy things grow. That's true for you spiritually. That's true for us physically. Healthy children grow, a healthy planet. Healthy things grow. And one of the incredible things about the grace of God when we come to Him, and one of the things that's so amazing about the grace of God, is that when we come to God, God accepts us in spite of our sin. God doesn't really accept us in our sin, because He doesn't want us to be in sin. He washes them away, but He accepts us in spite of our sin. And the grace of God is so incredible that He accepts us even though we're sinners when we come to Him. But the plan of God then is for us to grow. For us to grow. Not to stay that way. So when I first come to Christ and I say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and everybody's a sinner apart from Jesus Christ, and He washes our sins away, and God says, okay, you're mine, you're my child, but I don't want you to later be the same as you are right now. You're going to grow. You're going to get stronger. You're going to increase. And the way that we grow in our walk with God is we grow through the Word of God. The Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. God's Word gets to the heart. It's not just do this, don't do this. Come on, anybody could do this, don't do this. All right? God's like, no, we're going to deal with your heart. We're going to get your attitudes right. We're with who we really are within, that we would live for Him, that we're going to love Him. The Word of God will do this in our life. And time in God's Word is spiritual exercise that results in strengthening us in our lives with Him. I want to encourage you today to put forth effort to exercise spiritually. See, the thing is, I said it's not either or, it's both and. It's both and. The first one, if I stood up here and I said, listen, the way you get God's Word is someone teaches you God's Word, you'd be like, we're here. We're already here, Pastor. You're preaching to the choir. We came to church. We come. You already know that one. But what I want you to catch today is the importance in your own life as well of the both and, of making sure that you're spending time with the Word of God so that you're being strengthened and made strong in your life and in your walk with Him. I know that life is busy. Anybody's life busy? Anybody busy? Anybody, for the most part, you're just sitting around every day and you're like, I can't figure out what in the world to do with all my time. That's generally not the case. Life gets busy. In spite of how busy life is, spending time with God's Word is still so important. Come on, if you're a parent, if you're a mom, and you have little kids, I know finding time for anything is tough. It's tough. Come on, I'm not there now, but we've been there. Well, I was never a mom with little kids, but you know what I'm saying. But we had little kids. So I've been there, and I know it can be challenging. But even though it can be challenging to find opportunities to spend time in God's Word, that doesn't change the fact that you're still going to be strengthened when you do it. So you want to creatively find ways to make that time, to spend that time. Now, when I was a young believer, when I first came to faith in Christ, I worked for an electrical contractor at the time, and I had to be at work at 6 a.m. every day. So I got up at 4:30 every morning. 4:30 every morning I get up to get ready quick, to get my car and drive, to go be at work. It's early. If at that time in my life, if I had met Hector and he was there and he was trying to help me, and he says, brother, you got to get up at 3:30 every morning so you can spend time in prayer and in the Bible, that won't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen, all right? And maybe you say it would happen with me. I'm not as spiritual as you. Hello. All right. It wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to get up at 3:30 or 4. If I had tried to get up at that time and read my Bible, you know what was actually going to happen? Thank you. I was just going to fall asleep. I wasn't going to get anything out of it. I was exhausted. It was all I could do to get to work at 6 o'clock. So for me, that wasn't going to work in that time slot. So what I did is I packed my lunch every day from work, and I had this little cooler, and in my cooler I had my sandwiches and, you know, my chips and my Little Debbies and my Gatorades or whatever else I had in there, and I already know there's going to be Little Debbies at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and so I had all my stuff in there for my lunch, and in my lunch each day, I would also put this pocket New Testament that I had. Now, this was before we had the Bible on our phones, so I had to bring a paper Bible. You remember it? Remember that? Yeah, so I have to bring a paper Bible with me when I was there. So when I come to work back in the day when it has to be paper and it's lunch break and the guys are talking about sports and you know, is Abraham Lincoln going to get reelected or whatever? And they're talking about politics and all that's going on. It was a long time ago. And they were there. I have to take time then where I sneak away from the crew. Come on. and sit down with my little pocket New Testament and take some time to read it and say, wow, God, help me to apply this in my life. And I did it. I did it faithfully because I knew I want to grow stronger in my walk with God. I don't want to only just be taught at church. I was getting that. But I know I need to apply this in my life. And that's just something that I would do. You get creative in your own life. If you come in my house early in the morning, you'll hear my wife playing the Bible audio through an app on her iPad or whatever, just the Bible just playing while she's getting ready in the morning. My friend who's a customs officer tells me he listens to the Bible in his ear pods when he's on the train going down to the city each day. And man, if you want to get strong in God's Word, you find a way to spend a daily time in God's Word. Come on. You find a way to do it in your schedule. You make it happen because we want to be strengthened in Him and grow strong in Him. So I want to encourage you to get creative and make that happen in your life. And then let me give you a final thought today, and that is that God's Word is fruitful. And this is good. This is good. Come on, somebody say all. All Scripture is God-breathed. If I was standing there when Paul wrote that to Timothy, and I was looking at him, and he wrote all Scripture, I'd have probably been like, yeah, what about Numbers? What about Numbers? Anyway, so all Scripture, even the parts that are tougher to read, all right? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The plan of God is that you'd be equipped for everything you need. And God's plan is that we have that in our lives through His Word. Through His Word. That's why it's so important that we spend that time in it. God's Word is fruitful. I want you to catch that on this one. It was never God's plan for you and I to have to figure out how to live for Him on our own. It was never God's plan that we would just have to figure out by ourselves what it looks like to live for Him, what it looks like to be a believer. Some of that goes on in the world. Some of it goes on in our own country. People say, I love Jesus, but then they make up their own way to love Jesus without the Bible. Hello, that happens. That was never God's plan. That wasn't that. God's plan was that we would be equipped to live for Him through His Word, through the Bible, that's what would teach us how to live our lives and where to go. And God's Word equips us. It gives us the tools that we need to live the Christian life. Now, not having a tool that you need can be frustrating. I could be working on something, I open my toolbox, I'm flipping around, and the socket that I need, the wrench that I need, somehow it's not in there. I don't have the right size Allen wrench, I don't have whatever. That's frustrating. It's like, come on, where is it? You could be cooking and you know you've got the tool or whatever, but you can't find it. You can't find the kitchen tool that you need to do what you need to do. It can be frustrating if I don't have what I need. The Bible teaches us here that God's Word makes sure that we're equipped, that we have what we need for every good work. Now watch this, because this gets really good here. Something happens in Isaiah in the verses where we began that is incredible. God said through the prophet Isaiah that His Word always produces fruit. And we read there that all Scripture is profitable and, of course, and equips us. So He gave us this picture of the rain, the snow come down, they water the ground, they nourish the ground, and then there is growth that happens as a result of that. And God says, just as the rain comes down and causes seed to grow, when My Word comes forth, there's fruit as a result of that as well. But He says it in a way that doesn't make any sense in the natural at all, because He says this. He says, where there were thorns, a cypress tree grows. And He says, where there are nettles or briars, if you will, myrtle trees grow. Now, here's the thing. I would think if I had a little thorn bush right here and I put it in the sun and I started watering it and I took care of it, I would think I would get a bigger thorn bush. Are you with me? If the little thorn bush is just going to grow into a big thorn bush. I would think if I had the nettles, the briars or whatever, and I took care of them and I made sure they had what they needed and I watered them, I would think my little briar bush would just become a big briar bush. So that's what it would grow into. That's not what He says. He says where there were thorns, a cypress tree will grow. Where there were nettles, the myrtle tree grows. When God's Word is applied, everything changes, praise God. Just as the rain comes down, this happens in God's life. So we begin a relationship with God. I come to God, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Jesus be the Lord of my life. And when I come to God, I'm just a little thorn bush. I'm just a little briar bush, if you will. I got nothing going for me. But when God's word starts to be applied in my life, I don't become a bigger thorn bush. Hello. I grow into a tree that bears fruit, provides shade, that is refreshing. Everything changes when the word of God is applied in my life. The psalmist said in Psalm number 1 that the person who delights in God's word and meditates on it day and night is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in season. Catch this, it's in Psalm 1. Whatever that person does prospers. Who wants to prosper in what they do? Come on, my hand's up. My hand's up. Why would you do things and not want to prosper in them? It wouldn't make any sense. Can you imagine? Who's a nurse? Who's a nurse? There's nurses in here. Yeah. So imagine you go to a nursery. Oh, how you doing? Got a week coming ahead of you, and hope things go good this week. And the nurse like, maybe people die. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. So and you're like, what? That would seem crazy. Like, don't you want it to go well in what you do? Or a school teacher, and you say, oh, you teach kids. It's so rewarding. Like, I don't care whether those kids can read or write or whatever. I'm just trying to get through. And no, that's not how we want to do our job. Or what we do, whatever my job is, I want to prosper in it. I want to prosper in my relationships. I want to prosper in my finances. I want to prosper in my career, in your education. Who wants to do something and fail at it? That doesn't make any sense. But what God says here is, it's that when we apply God's word in our life, come on, it equips us for every good work, that it's then that we prosper in what we do and that there is fruit in what we do in response to that, praise God. That's God's plan for you. God's plan for your life is for you to grow and be strong and for you to be equipped in Him, for you to have what you need, for your path to be well lit before you. And the Word of God will transform your life. It transforms my life from our being just a worthless mess on our own, the nettles, the thorn bush, into being fruitful in our lives. And God's plan for accomplishing this in our lives is 50-50. We're taught God's word, and we also receive God's word on our own, on our own. Are you catching that? It's both. It's not either or. It's both and. It's both and for me. I come to church, and I'm the preacher, right? Here I am. Do you know, during the week, because I know it's both and, I have to make sure that I read or that I listen to someone else preach. For me, I'm saying to you, make sure you read the Bible on your own. For me, I know I'm going to be in the Bible during the week. It's what I do. But I also know that God's plan is 50-50, so I know I need the other one too. You got to have both. God's plan is somebody's going to teach you and you're going to study it on your own. That's God's plan. We're going to put both of them in our lives. And when we do that, we then grow and we become strong in Him and we prosper in what we do. Now, let me close with this one. I've known some believers along the way who had been believers in Jesus Christ for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and they were still thorn bushes. Hello. Still poking people. Still sticking people. Still not growing, still not bearing fruit, still not being, that was never God's plan for any of you, for any of us. God's plan is not that I would walk with Him for years and that I would still be a thorn bush. God's plan was that I would grow and be strengthened in Him and He would light my path and I would become a tree, come on, that bears fruit and there's fruitfulness in my life. That's what God wants for all of us in our lives, that we increase Him. But it won't happen by accident. It happens when we make sure we're taught God's word. And when we go to God's word and we study it on our own and we apply it in our lives and we put those two things together, the fruitfulness of this comes as a result of that. I want to ask our worship team to come up and help me out at this time. I want us to sing I'm going to want us in just a moment to sing that song we sang during the offering. Amen. If you guys would come. And you can stand with me across the room. Let's stand together. Excuse me. Amen. I want to encourage us today to be a people who grow. To be a people who grow. Here's the thing. Can I confess something? Can I confess something to you? Are you with me? I've walked with God for a long time. So I've walked with God where I've been in long seasons where I can't even remember a time where I've missed a day of reading my Bible and growing in Him. But I've walked with God long enough that I've also gone through seasons where maybe I was being preached to or taught, but I wasn't really spending time in God's Word. I know that never happened to any of you, but it's happened to me before. Hello. Are you with me? Are you with me? You can love Jesus and be coming to church and serving him and never be opening your Bible during the week or reading it or anything. I know you can because I've done it. All right? So I know you can do it. The problem is you're not growing. You're not becoming who God wants you to be. You're just staying a little thorn bush. Thank God for his grace. But you're just staying the little briar bush. And that wasn't what God wanted for you. What God wanted was that we would grow and become the tree planted by the stream that prospers. That was it. So, and speaking with us this morning, because I know believers can do both, we want to make sure that we're not. When I say do both, I mean being in or out. We want to do both as far as the application of God's word is concerned. So I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Be practical. If you're already consistent in God's word, God bless you. Stay faithful. I encourage you. Stay faithful. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you critique yourself and you say, well, I have been along the way, but I'm really not being, or maybe you haven't been, and you recognize now that you're going to be, and you commit yourself, be practical. Don't stand in church today and be like, you know, from now on, I'm going to read my Bible for an hour every day and do that. No, you won't. Don't even say, yeah, you won't. You won't, so don't do that. Instead, commit yourself to consistency, of saying, you know what? Here's where I'm going to find the time. Here's where I'm going to work it into my schedule, how I'm going to do this. You may need to get creative like I've had to do along the way in my life and so many others in this room have, but you creatively find a way. You listen to it, you read it, you do whatever. Come on, it's. I don't want to say it's easy to be faithful, but it's easier in our day than it's ever been before. It's easier now than it's ever been before. Because the Bible is everywhere. It's on our phones. It's on our devices. We can play it and hear it and keep track of it and set reminders. And it's easier for us than it's been for some other generations. Let's take advantage of that and make sure that we grow strong in Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Just before we sing, shut yourself in for a moment. Kind of critique your schedule. If you're already spending a consistent time in God's Word, thank God for it. Stay faithful with that. But if you're honest and you're saying, you know, I really haven't been right now and I need to be, this is a good time to either ask God to show you when's going to work for you or to make a decision of, you know, from now on my break at work, or from now on between these classes at school, or from now on in the morning, or from now on in the evening, whatever, I'm going to start to consistently spend some time in the Bible and in God's Word. I want to grow and be strong in Him. Be strong in Him. Hallelujah. God's Word does this for us. Thank you, Lord God. Let's sing this. This is the air I breathe. We can start with that.